It is still morning. If you have your Bibles with you, you'll see it in the announcements on the little sheet. We're looking at Luke chapter 24. You'll have to excuse me this morning. I got this ready last night. I thought, this is great. I've got it all ready. And I pressed the button on the computer and there was no ink in the printer. So this is off the cuff. Bless God. Bless God. Let's pray together before we read. It's important the Lord comes into this. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that you first loved us and sent your Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And we come to you as equals, Lord, around your throne of grace. And we pray that for your word, you will speak to our hearts where we are right now, Lord, that we would be more like Jesus. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 24. Pastor led us in the scripture around the resurrection. And we're just jumping on a few hours after the initial witness of the resurrection to verse 13 of chapter 24. And just a short story that's found in a couple of the Gospels. But Luke chapter 24 gives us an amazing picture that we can just enjoy breaking it down. So verse 13, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know him. And they said to him, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?' Then one of those whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which have happened there in these days?' And he said to them," what things? Important question. "So they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see. Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things to enter his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, 'Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?' So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." Amen. The Lord is really good. Some people know that when I was quite small, for a couple of years we lived in New Zealand. And one of the things that they're very fond of there is community history. And so the part I lived in, an area of New Zealand called Dunedin, and there's a little part there called Otago. It's like a bay, it's an inlet. And it's a very dull area. Nothing happens there, nothing ever goes on, apparently. And some time ago, in 1861, it was completely deserted. There was only a few people had decided to settle there and make a life for themselves, and they had little homesteads where they would raise animals and whatever it was. And this guy called Gabriel, who had started a settlement in the area, had gone down to the river at the bottom of where he had built his house to get some water, and as he drew water on this day, something different happened. He saw a little piece of stone on the bottom of the river shining up at him. And he lifted it up and he looked at it, and it turned out to be gold. And that's how the city actually started, because of this initial gold rush that started in 1861. One day, and everything was changed. And I really believe it only took one day to change these disciples. One event happened, and their lives were totally transformed. And I just love this passage. There's so much in there in such a short time. And the reason there's so much in there is because Jesus is at the very heart of it. And I just want to take you through it very quickly and give you a few things to think on, because it's given me a lot to think about over the past week or so. And as we look at the scripture, I just want to break it down for you. And the first thing I want you to think about is how downcast these disciples were. Between verses 18 and 21, it's almost like they're in a pit of depression, if you can imagine it. Imagine Jesus was their world. They had given up everything to follow him. They thought he was going to be the one who was going to change Israel. And so they decided to follow him. They had put their homes behind them. They had followed Jesus. Wherever he went, they went. Whatever he said, they took it on board. Whatever action, whatever miracle, they were astounded by it. He was mighty in work indeed. But now he was gone. The one they had placed their hopes in was gone. Everything had fallen apart for them. Could you imagine these two people? It doesn't say that they were both men. It only mentions the name of one of them. So we don't know if it was husband and wife, or if it was two friends, or whatever it was. But one of them was called Cleopas. And as these two were walking along the road, there was no pavements or anything like that, but they must have been just looking at the dirt track. They were downcast. They had nothing to live for, literally. Everything had fallen apart. Have you ever felt like that? When nothing seems to matter, when the things we thought were special to us had fallen apart. Maybe a job, maybe a friendship or a relationship, maybe we're hurt over a child who's going through a difficult time. Could be anything, but we're downcast. We're more than just feeling low. Downcast is like a picture of a dark cloud over your head. That's the word that's used here. Somebody mentioned it earlier, the storm, going through the storm. You ever seen those cartoon pictures, the little person going around with the black cloud and the lightning bolts coming down on them and the rain? It's almost like that. We're going around and everything. It's like the weight of the world is on our shoulders. And that was how these disciples were behaving. And what does Jesus say? Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Pastor preached on that last week. We need his rest, don't we? When things are hard, when things are difficult, if we think we're getting into the Christian life to get an easy time, we better forget it. It's never easy, is it? It's the hardest life we could, but Jesus says, I will give you rest. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Imagine they were deep in conversation. They noticed nobody. So deep in conversation, they didn't even recognize Jesus. That's profound in itself, because we can be so caught up with the things in life that we fail to recognize that Jesus is by our side, that Jesus is walking along with us. He wants to carry the burden. He wants to see us through the storm. And these disciples, they weren't interested because they were so wrapped up in their own conversation, so caught up in their own little world. And as they're walking along there, they come to a point where they do recognize this stranger, and they start to talk to him. And then the stranger turns around and he says to them, after they say, do you not know what's going on? He says, what things? What things? I really can't speak on your behalf, but I can speak for myself. Sometimes it comes to that point when things get so hard, it's literally Jesus will say, what's your problem? Of course he already knows, but he wants us to recognize it. What's your problem? Why are you leaving me out of it? Tell me what's going on. As some of you know, I work on a call center. It's great because I can just leave everything behind. But when we get there, what we hate most of all is I do email and letters and things like that. But those of us that are on that, what we hate is being put on phones. And the reason we don't like it is we don't like what's coming. It can be anything. And so they've given us these little prompts to help us to find out how we can help the person better. And one of the things they say is, ask the person, tell me explicitly what's happening. Can you imagine it? Jesus saying, tell me explicitly your problem. Every detail, every part of it. Don't just brush over what's going on. I want to know it all. I want to know everything. Because if I know everything, I can carry you through it. I'm not going to take it away. I'm going to see you through it. Have we experienced that? Is that something we know? Jesus taking us through the storm. Jesus helping us overcome the things that lie in front of us. It could be this morning that we're just going through the storm and we need that extra help. We need something more. And Jesus is the one who offers it. Also, have a little look here. Now, I'm really quite glad in a way some of the ladies are away, because I would get pulled up for this. All right? But if you look at your Bibles, it's good that you can use God's word on this. If you look at your Bibles, these men refused to believe the women had really been at the tomb and been told by the angels Jesus was alive. Now, it's something we have to really accept. Jesus spoke to Thomas and he said, blessed are those who do not see and believe. The Lord blesses us when we accept him in faith. He comes into our life. We've had such great worship this morning. Thank you very much, Jim and the group. That really blessed me from to God be the glory. to Christ, his holiness in me, breathe in me, breath of God. Wonderful. This is what we need, and we need to take it with us. Not just think about what we see and what we experience and, oh, wasn't it wonderful? Did you go to such and such a meeting and we saw people healed and we saw this happen? Believe me, it's mind-blowing when you see the power of God at work in front of you. But the Lord blesses us when we accept him for who he is, regardless of what we see. It's part of the plan of God that we believe in our hearts. The plan of God, where is it found? It's found in his word. How many of us read his word? How many of us enjoy his word? How many of us immerse ourselves in his word? What I really enjoy is, as we're worshiping, there's so many things that we sing are actually straight from the Bible. And we don't realize it, but it's amazing. Isn't it great? We put a great tune to something and we think it's wonderful, but it's even greater because it's God's word. We're singing the word of God, and it's wonderful. It's powerful. And what does Jesus do? How does he lift their spirits? He doesn't tell them to cheer up. He doesn't offer them a handkerchief because they might be crying. No, he pours out the word of God. If we're feeling low this morning, read God's word. If we're feeling down about something, read God's word. If you're not sure what to read, ask someone. I'm feeling this way. What can I read to help me? What can I read to know what God can do for me? God wants to bless every one of us in this room. Every single one. Doesn't matter who we are, whether we're Irish or what. But you know something? He wants to do it every day. Every day, not just when we feel like it. Not just when it's Sunday. Not just because it's a special time of the year like Easter or Christmas. But he wants to do it every day. Every day, even if it's just a few verses. I was really blessed when the Dundee Elam pastor was here, Stephen Holmes, and he said they were challenging each other to go through the New Testament in 9 weeks. Was it the New Testament or the whole Bible? I think it was the New Testament. If they go through the Bible in 9 weeks, that'd be amazing. But the New Testament in 9 weeks. Now, they weren't saying to everybody, you have to do it, but we're going to try and do it. The wonderful thing is, we have this wonderful word of God, and it doesn't matter whether you're an old fossil like me and you're raised on the King James, or whether you can get a newer version and you can read a new translation that's more contemporary and it might be easier for you. Whatever it is, it's the word of the living God, and he wants us to read it and enjoy him and speak to us through it. Imagine what it was like for these men walking 7 miles down the road in sandals and a dusty road. And it wasn't an easy road. I actually looked into it. The road to Emmaus wasn't actually a very well established road. So it was a rough track. And they were walking down this road. No wonder it was classed as a day's walk. Imagine having a Bible study for a whole day and Jesus just scripture after scripture after. Amazing. Fascinating. Wonderful Jesus. No wonder we get to the final part of the scriptures, and as we look at it, it tells us here that Jesus is the answer. How do we know that? And this is perhaps the most important part of the scriptures. Jesus is the answer. And let me share just three little things with you here. Because this is where we see how important our faith is this morning. Imagine walking all day with Jesus, and Jesus opening up the Bible to them. And remember, the Bible for them was the Old Testament. So it tells us he opened it up from Moses, that's the first five books, from Moses and the prophets, and he would have went through all that and all the prophecies concerning what was going to happen when he was going to have to come to this world and why he came, right the way from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when the fall happened, all the way through to the book of Malachi. And he opened it all up for them. Isn't that amazing? I get excited whenever I see something in one little verse that I've never seen before. What would have been for these two people walking along this road when the whole of the Old Testament was revealed to them? No wonder it transformed them. No wonder it changed them. I was reading a book recently, and in it there was a story of a man called David Redding. I don't know if any of you here would know him, but he lived over in America in the late 20s, early 30s, and he was a young lad then. He lost his best friend, who died in an accident, and his parents didn't know how to console him. So what they did was they got him a little puppy. And David loved this little puppy, and he raised it, and he took care of it. And David and the little puppy were totally inseparable. Everywhere one went, the other went. And this farm that they lived on was about 3 or 4 miles walk away from the nearest public transport that they could get into the next town. And so if any stranger came near, the dog went wild until David told it to be quiet. And they knew it was okay. Time went past, and imagine they're totally inseparable. And it came the time when the Second World War came about, and David was drafted. And as he went off to boot camp, this dog that he had raised from a pup was quite well on in years, and he loved it so much, and he didn't know if he would ever see it again. So we went off to boot camp, and after a period of time, David was one of the fortunate people who made it right the way through the war. He came back, he got the bus, nothing had changed. Got the bus from the nearest town, and he had to walk 4 miles back to the farm. And as he was making his way to the farm, remember, he'd been away for 6 years. And the dog heard him coming and started barking. And it ran down the road at him. And David whistled, like that the dog stopped and knew him straight away. Friends, perhaps we have been away from reading God's word for some time. We haven't touched it. Yeah, we've taken it to church or whatever, but we haven't touched it for our own enjoyment. We haven't spent time with it. We haven't got close to it again. And maybe what we need to do is just recognize that fact and open our hearts up to it. Just like David, the dog recognizing David's whistle, we need to recognize the pull of God's word. God wants us to read his word, because as we read his word, we get to know him more. In this world that we live in this world where, let's admit, it's a bit crazy out there. There's things going on that we never would have thought maybe 3 or 4 years ago. But even with all this going on, the word of God is still the same. Because the person behind the word of God doesn't change. Hebrews tells us that. Yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus is the same. How were these people changed? And this is the really exciting bit. I just want to share this with you. if you look at the scriptures, verse 28 and 29, then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he, that's Jesus, indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. Imagine that. They were so caught up with what this person had said, they didn't want to be separated from him. They didn't want him to go on. Now, Jesus actually could have gone on further. We find that out later. He could have went on further, and I'll explain why. But that wasn't the case. They wanted him to stay. Do we want our God to stay with us? Or do we just put up with little doses? God doesn't want us to work with little doses, because we don't have a little dose God. It's all or nothing. Either we give everything to God, we've sang about that, either we give everything to him, or else we lose out completely. God wants it all. Because when we give our all, he gives his all. And let's not beat around the bush. There's more of God than there is of us. So we would be the winners. They asked Jesus to stay. The second thing here, if you look at it, it's verse 30 and 31. Now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took bread, blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. I think that's a great phrase. They recognized Jesus. Even though he had expounded all the scriptures and they were desperate for him to stay with them, they still hadn't quite recognized him. They hadn't quite grasped the idea that Jesus was alive. But here, they recognized him because they saw the way he broke the bread. Remember, they were his disciples. They would have seen this many times before. The unique way he did it, he broke the bread and he gave it to them. Like that. That's Jesus. Can we say that in our life? That's what Jesus has done. He's touched that part of my life. He's touched that part of my life. Let me, a little word of testimony, just a little thing. And sometimes it's the little things that make us give glory to God. Isn't that right? As you know, there's four or five of us, I think it's five. Is it five going down to Harrogate? There's five of us going to Harrogate. And I put in for my holidays. I thought, no, plenty of time. Nobody wants off in May. And then they said, you can only have 3 days off. And that was a problem for me. And I had a talk with Isabel about it. I can embarrass her because she's not here. But I had a chat with Isabel about it. And I says, no, if they're not going to give me that Monday, I'm just going to take it as unpaid leave. I don't care if it affects me getting a contract or not. I need to be there. And we prayed about it. And I went into work the next day. And I had this email through. An email said they'd give me the extra day. God is good. But sometimes he just wants us to step out and do it. Not to wait. Not to think, oh, what can if I can't get that day, how can I work around it? No, if we have to have something to do it for God, we need to step out and say it. We need to step up and do it. The Lord wants us to be his people who will say, Jesus comes first. Jesus comes first. Our eyes need to be opened. We need to realize that he has something in store for this world, and this world needs to know about it. And it may be that whether we're in the workplace or we're at school or college or wherever we are, that we are God's mouthpiece. We may be the only person that someone will meet who loves Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? You may be in your home and someone a couple of doors away will never know that Jesus loves them. And you could be the only person. That's happened recently. And we need to remember that. Everything we say and we do has to show Jesus. Our eyes need to be open. And finally, and this gets me in the heart. Verse 32. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? When we know Jesus, when he comes, when his presence is so real, does our hearts, do they burn within us? I don't mean just the feeling, oh, this is great, this is wonderful. Do we feel that tear in our eye when we think of him on the cross for us? Do we get caught up by his Holy Spirit? Do we get grabbed by the knowledge that our God reigns? As Harry was praying there, yes, this is our perishable bodies. We know that. As we get older, we begin to fall apart. But the thing is, our imperishable bodies, when we are with Jesus, no more pain, no more tears, no more sorrow. Do you know something? We're not even going to worry about the rest of our family that are up there with us. Because we're going to be so filled praising Jesus and looking at him that we can't contain ourselves. It's going to be amazing. It's something we can't explain, but it's going to happen. And we're going to be there. But even now, our hearts can burn in us. We can get excited. We can get thrilled with Jesus. A lot of you won't know this one. We used to sing an old hymn, There is Joy in Serving Jesus. And the chorus was very simple. It had to be for us in Ireland. But it was so simple. There is joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus. Joy that throbs within my heart. Every moment, every hour, as I look upon his power, there is joy, joy, joy that never shall depart. That's what I want. Do we want that? Do we want to feel that good that nothing can pull us down? Someone gave me a picture a long time ago, and I never understood. I'm not one of these people who always understands pictures. So if you get a picture for me, if I look as if I'm in a daze, don't worry about it. It takes me a little while for the penny to drop. But this person, I was going through a very difficult time a number of years ago, and this person gave me a picture. Very simple. This picture was of me in a basket, in a hot air balloon, and I was just barely off the ground. And they said, one by one, I started to throw these bags out, and it started to lift. And I couldn't understand that. And I almost felt that the picture was pulling me down, because I thought, I mustn't be spiritual enough to understand that. There's something wrong with me. And then somebody else came, and I told them about this picture. I was upset by it because I couldn't understand it. I was just frustrated. And the person said, do you know what the problem is? What's in the basket are your problems, and you need to just get rid of them. Give them to Jesus, and you'll rise. And that's what happened. Sometimes it's the simple things. Sometimes it's things that just pull us down. Whatever is happening, it could be health, it could be a job, career, relationship. It could be even as family, sometimes we just don't get along. But whatever it is, Jesus wants us to get rid of the problems so that we're lifted and our hearts burn within us. Remember those three little things that they asked him to stay. And maybe this morning, you might need to ask him to stay. Jesus, stay with me. Be the Savior I need. I've just gone through the motions so long, and I just need you. I need you now. Their eyes were opened. And maybe this morning, our eyes have been opened. Not by me, not by the great worship, not by being direct leading us in prayer, whatever, but because Jesus has been here. That's what we want, Jesus to be here, to open our eyes, to see what's real and what we need. Maybe we love him, and this morning we can say, my heart's burning. It's burning for more. It's burning for Jesus, and I want it to keep on burning. And we need to come to him and read his word, speak to him in prayer. We need to open our hearts because the King is coming. And he's coming to do a work in this place. Amen.